Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all duties of your ministry. Keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. There are several more aorist imperatives Paul uses as he concludes this text. But I chose the last three. Endure hardship. Stand your ground on Scripture. Do the work of an evangelist. Phygellus and Hermogenes had deserted Paul. Demas and everyone else in the province of Asia had left him. Titus and Tychicus had gone away. Luke alone is with me, says Paul. Paul is in prison now. This one last time. This Roman citizen who is born to be free, this apostle of God, the one who brought us and everyone the gospel of freedom, for the sake of the same gospel, is now in prison. In the same letter he will write, I am now being poured out as a libation to God. The days are drawing near. I can almost see the end. But also with good confidence, he will say, I have fought the good fight. Run the race. In heaven, there is kept for me the crown of life. Endure hardship. He writes to Timothy. Elsewhere, he writes so much about the hardship that he went through for the sake, again, of the gospel to the church at Corinth. When he wrote with Timothy as the co-author of the letter, he said he had been in prison frequently, flogged severely, exposed to death again and again, was flogged by the Jews 195 times, beaten with rods 3 times, shipwrecked 3 times, spent a night and a day in the sea, among other things. And in Lystra, Acts 14 says, Paul was stoned. Remember, Lystra was Timothy's hometown. So he must have heard what had happened to Paul in Lystra. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and people liked what he had to say, and the people, at least for a while, thought he and Barnabas were gods from above. They brought garlands and almost worshipped him, stooping down before them and kneeling down before them. Soon a group of Jews came and said, these were blasphemers. And they stoned him and dragged him out of the city of Lystra and left him there thinking he was almost dead. Endure hardship, Paul says to young Timothy, to whom he would entrust the gospel and also the ministry of the gospel. Endurance is such a strong word. We have our own problems and pains and sorrows and sufferings to endure. But enduring hardship for the gospel is unique. The church does not come into being in such beautiful edifice as this. The church does not emerge from a posh, convenient, comfortable situation. Throughout the history of the church goes through suffering. And through suffering, endurance is built. And through suffering and endurance, God's Holy Spirit causes the church and the members of the church to grow and to thrive and to even take the cross of Jesus Christ and follow him. Paul exhorted Timothy to endure hardship. But he also says, yes, endurance, stand your ground. Stand your ground in the gospel, because this is the word of God, the God-breathed word that is brought down to the earth for the sake of the salvation of people. That is the purpose of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking and correcting, and training in righteousness. All these examples, these verb forms, are challenging, aren't they? Teaching the Word of God when mysteries go around and when stories go around, when fascinating stories, convincing stories and myths go around, as Paul even noticed them, to stand your ground, take your stand and teach the Word of God, a challenge. It is as if when we proclaim the gospel, we are lifting up the cross of Christ and also living in the shadow of that cross. Stand your ground. Teach the word in order that you may also rebuke and correct. Strong statement. You can do this today in this generation, especially in today's generation, only because this is the word of God. Human words hold no ground. Human words are mostly passive. Who does not go wrong? Who does not commit mistakes? Who is the purest person in the world? People ask. Stand your ground. Stand yourself before and in the light of the Word of God, which convinces you of your sin, convicts you of your sin, and also comes to you as a word of grace. Words do not have picture languages because words themselves are picture languages. Words cannot be put into graphics. Once you do them, you are limiting the efficacy of the word. Words need to be spoken. And the final word was spoken in the person of Jesus Christ, who put graphics to this word, the incarnate word. It is on that word that we and the Christian church has always stood. Paul goes on to say to Timothy, and then do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Proclaim the word. This word has been brought to your life through your grandmother and your mother. This word was reinforced in your own personal life, with my encounter with you. You have seen how this word grows through watching the way in which God caused the ministry to expand in and through my life. You have seen how challengingly this word called me to endure hardship. Now you do the work of the evangelist. I come from a nation that has had a history of being visited by evangelists. It is said, and a lot of historians still believe, that missionary enterprise was part of colonialism. It may be true, it is probably not really true. Colonialists were interested in starting colonies, not so much bringing the word of God to so-called heathen nations. If they brought some preachers and evangelists along, that was especially for the purpose of ministering to their own spiritual needs. I mean the needs of the spiritual needs of the colonialists. There have been exceptions. There was one King Denmark of Sweden. Frederick IV had a different mission in the 17th century. Okay, we are sending pastors, but we should also be sending pastors so there can be evangelists and preach to other nations. So he looked around to find a Denmarkian to be sent along as an evangelist to India. He couldn't find one. So he sends people to Germany to find someone. He succeeded and found two young men, Siegenbalg and Plechor. Siegenbalg came. He was aboard a ship sent out by the Denmark king, but the captain couldn't care much for this preacher to bring the gospel to this strange country. Siegenbalg and his friend chose to come along, ride along. Everybody else was deboarded, and then this family was left. There was no one to welcome them. 3 days and three nights, sounds like Pauline experience. 3 days and three nights, this family was left in the ship. No board was provided. No companions cared even to know what was happening to them. They were left there. Finally, it dawned on the captain that there was still a family left there. They chose to come to India against the wish of the authorities, but they came anyway. A boat was sent, and they were brought to the ground and left by themselves. 300 years ago, a foreigner who came to India would prefer to be living in some kind of a convenient home, but these family was left all by themselves. It was an Indian, a native Indian, who picked them up and found them a place and allowed them to preach in a marketplace. Paul says, do the work of an evangelist. Endure hardship. That hardship paid off. 5 years they waited. 5 years they waited. 9 people became Christians. The same Ziegenbalg translated much of the Old and all of the New Testament into one of the southern Indian languages. Endure hardship for the sake of the gospel. Stand your ground on the word of God. Do the work of an evangelist. The call Timothy received from Paul, the call we have from our own God. Why? Because there is one God, one Lord, one church. Let us celebrate that love. Let us celebrate that living experience with our living Lord as we stand and sing the Te Deum.